这个不要，可不可以说？这不要，可以留一下。Okay, no, just make sure it's working. Okay, work, set it, okay. We left off enough Ayin Ham and Aleph. We just left off pretty much. It's back in the middle of a discussion where the Gemara was discussing if a person makes a condition that something is going to be given, and then that item is given, but it's given to the recipient of Al Korcha. The recipient decides they don't want it anymore. So is that considered to be a Mesina or not? So that could have ramifications in terms of because Gittin, you make a condition that you're going to give again. Again, it's conditional upon giving $200 to somebody, and the person refuses to take it. So if you just shove it down their throat and say, well, take it, it's a nesina. Otherwise, say, no, the word nesina has a connotation that the person willingly accepts it. So the Gemara related this to a very, very different area of halacha, where the Gemara quoted in Mishnah, about in the days of Yovel, there was a halacha that if a person sells a house in a walled city, so they have 1 year to redeem that house. They can take the amount that they got for the house and force the person to sell it back to them. So the only thing is that only works for exactly 1 year. So what people used to do, the buyers used to do, they didn't want to have to give back the house that they bought. So they would disappear and skip town on the last day. So the Hillel made a special takana that you can take the money that you're looking around to give and put it into Beis Din, put it in a special room, and then you get your rights in the house back. So it's clear from the Gemara that was a special takana of Hillel. Hillel made a special rule to be able to do that. The question is, what does that impact in our question? So let's pick it up with Daf Ayin Ham and Aleph. It's five lines of the top. Begin the Avodah. Those who say, Amar Rava, mitachanasa she Hillel, from the takana of Hillel, we could derive the following halacha. Hareze gitech amanash tikkali masayim zuz. Reuben gives a get to his wife and says, the get is only valid on the condition that you give me 200 zuz. Whether she gives the money, he accepts it willingly, or whether he yells and screams, I don't want the money, it doesn't matter. That's considered to be fulfilling the condition of nesina ba'al karcha. Giving something even against the will of the recipient does qualify as a nesina. So if so, why did Hillel have to institute this special takana of putting the money on the side somewhere? He should have just given it to him. Just shoved it down the person's throat. Hillel had to make this takana because not only was the buyer not willing to accept the money, he didn't want to, he would skip down. He wouldn't be around anymore. So with Shalai Befanav, therefore, who you give it to exactly? So therefore, Hillel had to make the special takana. About Befanav, but if the buyer would still be around, maybe he died, maybe a Koch HaVisi. I can walk up to the shul and shove the money into his hand and he's yelling and screaming, that doesn't matter. That would be called returning the money. So asking for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa raised the question, the Tamer of Sibarashi. Some say it was of Sibarashi who asked this question. The Duma feel Befanav Nami, he died to Ira Koch alone. Maybe even if the person would be there, it wouldn't work. It would be given to him against his will. Hillel by Itzchak like talking. Hillel made the takana in the case where the guy was away. That's what they did. The people didn't want to be bothered, so they ran away. They went on vacation for a week, so they wouldn't be around to be forced to take the money. But in Hanavi, we would have the same problem if the person was around. So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure what the din is about the seed of Yaakov. And therefore, it was get them relief things somewhere to hang it.
By the case of the
world
city, we know that
it's going to work. Well, we only know that it works because it was a special takana of Hillel that it works. We don't know that. That's exactly what the Gemara said. We don't know. We're not sure. So now the Gemara goes back into a little bit of digression to the walled cities in Yovel. The Gemara goes back to the basic question that we were discussing. If a person gives a get on condition that the woman's going to produce this coat, this article of clothing, and then she can't find it, the article of clothing is lost. Can't she simply just give you the value of the clothing or not? Do we insist that you made it tonight? The condition was to give this item, and if you don't give this item, the game's over. I say no, the goal of the condition was you should make $1,000. So what's the difference whether she gives you the coat Or if you, she gives you $1,000. So if you want to go buy a coat, you buy a coat, $1,000. So that was a machlekes at Tanoim. So Amar Rav Rabbechana Rabbi Yochanan. So Yochanan tells us, Kamotam Shishana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishnah, say Alacha Baisa. As a general rule, whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel appears in that Mishnah, we almost always paskin like him. And here he does appear in the Mishnah. He was the one who was lenient and said that a condition can be fulfilled even if you don't give the actual coat, even if you just give the cash value. So that would have led us to believe we should follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the answer is no, it's not true. This is one of the exceptions. Chutz me'are v'tzidon v'raya acharona. There are three cases where we, in fact, don't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even though he is mentioned in the Mishnah. One of them is tzidon. That was the story. The story where the coat happened in the city of tzidon. The two other cases, one is a thing about an arev. If I lend you X amount of money, and there's a cosigner, some intricate details about the halachas of arev at the end of the Masra. And Raya Charona is referring to a sugi in the third book of Sanhedrin, when two bali din having a din Torah, and the Bezin says, listen, you have X amount of time to bring your proofs, and the person brings the proofs after that time. So what exactly? How does that play out exactly? So that was also machlekes and the Shemir Gamliel under abundance. So it happens to be just these three arbitrary cases. They're nothing to do with each other. These are three cases where the halacha follows the chacham against the Shemir Gamliel. So now we go back to regular halachas of Tanoim and Chuz Gittin. And the Gemara quotes a braisa that seems to be contradictory. Tanoim abundance. Look to the braisa. Harei ze gitech v'ani yeshali. The person gives a get to his wife and he says, "I'm giving you this get. You should be divorced, but I'm keeping the paper." Paper was pretty expensive in those days. She says, I'm not giving you ownership, but I'm giving you the rights to the paper. So Adam Gureshes, so that get would not be acceptable because the letters are what we call Osios Prochus Ba'avir, literally the floating in midair. Means if the letters don't have anything to be written on, there's no background, there's no nothing. So you're not giving anything to the woman. And the Torah says, Venasa Viyad, you have to give her the get, so you have to give her the paper as well. But what if he formulates this follows? What if he says, I'm giving you this get on the condition that you return me the paper? So migureshes. So then the get will take effect. The Gemara wants to know, what is the difference between the two wordings? Maishna reisha, maishna seifa. Why is there a difference? So I would have thought the difference is because here he said almanah. So the Gemara is going to get to that at the very, very end of the sukkah. Yeah? But at this point, the Gemara thought that even in the second case where he gives her a get on the condition that she returns the paper, the get will not take effect until later. So if the get doesn't take effect later, the Gemara's going to change that as we go on. But at this stage, the Gemara thought that even in the second case, the get will not take a hold until later. At that point, the paper is returned. So at the end of the day, the get's supposedly going to be valid without the paper. That's a problem. So in the first part of the price, we say, if he spells out explicitly, I'm giving you the get, and give me the paper back, it's no good because it's just letters floating in the air. In the second case, when he says, I'm giving you the get on the condition that you return me the paper, that's the same thing. So, tachlis, he's not giving you the paper. He's not giving you the paper. That's a deficiency of a nasan biyadna. So, that was what prompted the Gemara asked, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So, I'm Rav Chizna. So, Chizna suggested, Hamani Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe this Brais is following the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? That was back to Mishnah. To Omar, Tite Loz Damel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that whenever you make a condition to give something, the something is not necessarily that item. If you give the cash value, that's also okay. That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in that Mishnah. He said that he made a condition on the get, give me the coat. And then she can't find the coat, so she gives him $1,000. So to over here, he made a condition to return the paper. She doesn't have to return the paper. She can give him the value of the paper. In the first case, when he says that the paper is mine, I'm not giving it to you, it's not a condition. It's just a statement of fact. The paper is never yours to begin with. So then he gets back on the bichal. In the second case, he's giving her the option to either give the paper back or to pay the value of the paper.
Is he allowed to leave the koreshet on tonight as she pays for the transactional aspect of the get?
Well, the truth is that's what always happens. She actually does pay for it. The Mishnah says, again, in the Basra, that even though really Min HaTorah, he should have to pay for the get, because the nevertheless, with the Rabban and Chazal were afraid they're going to add that expense to him. He's going to delete that. It'll give him another excuse not to give her a get. So therefore, Chazal said that let her pay for everything, and that'll be in her best interest. That will encourage him to give the get quicker. So even though Min HaTorah he's supposed to pay, the Gemara says the Hefke Beis and Hefke Chazal will mock all the money that she pays and made it his money, and now it's as if he's paying. Even though she's the one who's giving the cash, the Ma'is HaPi Aloch is considered to be his money. So here we get into a pickle because here, in one case, the Braisa says the get is no good. The second case, the Braisa says is good. They sound like they're identical. So Chizda says, no, the answer is in the second case, since it was done derech Tanai, and we have Rav Shimon Gamliel in our back pocket, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can just simply give cash. So how about Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Amatitlos Damel? So just as in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, she can give the money. Hachinami, so to over here, Efshe de Mephaisele Bidami, so to over here, that she could make him feel good. She can calm him down by giving him the value of the paper. But the paper itself, she's going to hold on to. So Maskula Abai said, I said, no, 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 that's not a good answer. Eimad Rav Shimon Gamliel, when did Rav Shimon Gamliel say his chiddush that she can just simply give the value? Hechid Eleisa V'Einek. That's if the item isn't around. The case that happened with the coat in the city of Sidon, the coat got lost. But Hechid Eleisa V'Einek, if the item is there, that's not considered to be a proper fulfillment of the condition. And therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion would be irrelevant here. So we're back to square one. So why is it that in the first case, when he says explicitly, give me back the paper, I'm not giving it to you in the first place, Hanir Shali, it's no good. Why in the case of it tonight is it good? So the Gemara is going to suggest a whole series of terutzim that are all going to revolve around one basic principle. The principle being is that the way he worded this condition was not exactly correct. It's missing a little bit of the legality to this condition. And therefore, the condition is null and void. The necessity to return the get actually doesn't exist. So since he didn't fill out the contract right, he didn't fill out the words of this tonight properly, it turns out the tonight is batel. And the tonight is batel, then she doesn't have to fulfill it. And if she doesn't have to fulfill it, the get's going to be chal without her returning the paper. So we have to just explain why is the tonight batel, what happened here, what was wrong in the way that he formulated it tonight. So the Gemara goes through the several suggestions. Elam Rabbi, Hamani Rabbi Meir, me. This must be following the view of Rabbi Meir, the Amma Be'inan Tanai Kafel. There is a Machlekes at Tanoim in the third paragraph of Sechas Kedushin. Whenever you make any transaction on condition, Reuven sells you a house on condition, Reuven's Makadosh Anisha, he's Magarish Anisha, any chalos, change in status that's being done conditionally, has to follow the pattern of Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. The Torah described.
None of them were Tanai couple.
What?
It's like our 10th case of Tanai, and none of them were.
So here the Gemara is saying that the only way to learn Pshat of the Braisa is to say that the Braisa is talking about when there was no Tanai couple. Look at that. All the other cases sound like the Mishnayos don't mention that there's Tanai couple, but the answer is it has to be. That's the mission of a Seventh Kedushin if you follow Rebbe. Not everyone necessarily follows Rebbe. So comes Abai and tries to stick this Braisa into Rabbi Meir's sheet in the following sense. Rabbi Meir says that just as in the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben, Moshe says to them explicitly, if you do the following, if you cross the yard of the fight, then you can keep your stuff on the east side of the yard. And if you don't, then you're not going to. So he says over the positive part, and he says over the negative part. So that's what's called the Tanai Kafel. So Rabbi Meir's sheet and the solution is, any Tanai that's not stipulated, not formulated precisely like the Tanai of Bnei Gad and Reuben with the Tanai Kafel, with the double lashon, with the yes and the no's, that Tanai is meaningless. The Tanai didn't meet the criteria of Tanai. It's just scratch it off the books, and then there's no need to fulfill that Tanai. And the Kedushin, Gevushin, Mechirin, Nesir, whatever it is, will go into an effect even in the absence of fulfilling of the Tanai. So Abai says, that's what's going on in this Braisa. Huh? The Braisa is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says he did Tanai Kafel. He didn't make a Tanai Kafel. He just said one direction. So therefore, in the second case of the Braisa, the Tanai is both of them. So Rabbi Meir, there's no need for to return the get. Rabbi Meir, the get is going to be kosher. So Masna Rabbi. So Rabbi said, you're right. That would be a possible answer. But you didn't give the whole story, argues Rava. Time and low kafel tonight. According to your understanding, your interpretation of the Braisa, it makes it sound like the only thing that went wrong was the lack of tonight kafel. Ha kafel tonight. But if and when he would have made it tonight kafel, lo havigita. So it sounds like you agree that tonight would have been valid, and therefore it's a tonight that can't be fulfilled because fulfilling the tonight will force the return of the get, which will invalidate the get. So Rava said to Abai, you think you could solve the world's problem by just adding another line? That's not going to do the trick. After all, you agree that all Tuchus Tanoim is derived from where? So now, when we follow in the footsteps of what Rav Meir said before, You have to open up Parshas Matos and read it carefully, and every nuance of Tanai has to be repeated. So what would that mean? Whenever you formulate a Tanai, you have to first say what the condition is, and then say what the action is going to be. So it's in the case of Ben-Gam and Reuben, so Moshe says to them, if you do this, then you will get Eretz Yisrael. Then you'll get your share in Eber Yardin. If you don't, then you won't. So the Tanai, if what you play, what the stipulation is, what the condition is, has to be formally, has to be verbalized first. If it wasn't, if it was the other way around, that first I talk about the effect, and then I talk about the condition, that's an incorrect formulation of a Tanai. And therefore, the Tanai just gets scratched off the book. It's command delays. It doesn't exist. And the Mela doesn't have to be fulfilled. So that's what Rava said to Abaye. This Tanai is so problematic. Because when he says the Hareze Gite Chamanash Nechzius Anir, that's the opposite of order. Here he did the Chalos first. He says Hareze Gite Nechzius Anir. And then 5 minutes later, he throws in what the stipulation is. So that's the incorrect order. So Kol Tanai Mehecha Milu Mitagare Rumahosav Tekav Lemaisa. Just as the era Tanai has to precede the Maisa, of Kol Tanai Kav Lemaisa, so to any and every Tanai, the Tanai has to come before the Maisa. This is in contrast to here, the Maisa Kav Tanai, that the Maisa is being stipulated, is verbalized before the Tanai. Elam Rava, so Rava said, so what's Pshat in the Maisa? Why is the Tanai scratched in the Maisa? Mishum the Maisa Kav Tanai. The reason is what I just told you, says Rava, don't tell me, and just simply saying it tonight, Kofel is going to do the trick. It's not true. You have to change everything. In order for the tonight to be valid, you have to make it as similar to Bnei God as you can. Maslow of Adabar Abba. Adabar Abba jumped on Rava and asked a similar question. Time in the Maisa Kofel tonight. The same way that a minute ago, Rava attacked Abaye and said, you think you solved the problem? So if Adabar Abba turns around to Rava and says, you think you solved the problem? How tonight come the Maisa? It sounds like if you would have just simply stipulated it in the proper order, everything would have been great, and then the get would be not valid. It's the same style of question. All of the chistanoim is derived from the Gan Ruben. Just as over there, the Tanai is about one thing, and the Maisa is about something else. Like usually, the chistanoim, let's say Reuben gives a get to his wife. He says, here's the get on the condition that you give me $200. So the Nesidus I get is one action, and the giving of the $200 is a totally separate distinct action. That's exactly what the Tanai they got in Reuben was. That Moshe Rabbeinu is entering into a transaction with them. I'm representing the Jewish people. I'm giving you the east side of the Yarden on the condition that you do something, you go out to war, you fight on the west side of the Yarden. So there's no connection between two. They're miles apart. Two different actions, two different entities. Whereas over here, this is what's called a Tanai Umaisa Bedavar Echad. Here, the get is being given to you on the condition that you give me the get back. That's a steer. That's a connection. That's Tanai Maisa Bedavar Echad. So comes Rav and says, so Ma Hosam Tanai Bedavar Echad Maisa Bedavar Echad. Comes about Rav and says, when do we have the parsha, the principle of a Tanai? That's when the Tanai is talking about one entity and the Maisa is about something totally different. Of course, so too in all other cases, La Fuke Hacha comes to exclude here in the top of the days, the Tanai of Maisa, it's one action, it's one Tanai, it's one Maisa. So Ella Amr of Adbar Rav, you talk right that the reason why this Tanai failed us is Bishum the Tanai Maisa Dabarach, I'm sorry, because the Tanai and the Maisa are in one entity. Therefore, the Tanai is no good. And because the Tanai is no good, therefore she doesn't have to return the paper. So until now, we had generations of Amoraim, from Abaye to Rava to Rava, everybody going down the same basic structure of the Sugya. Let's knock this Tanai out. Let's show you why the Tanai was made by mistake. Let's show you why the lawyers didn't know what they were doing when they formulated this Tanai. And that's why the get is going to be good. Comes Rav Ashi and he says, no, I'm going to go down a totally different approach to this. Rav Ashi, Omar, the original question was a flawed question. What was the original problem? The person gives a get to his wife and says, he's giving you this get on the condition that you return me the paper. So if and when she returns the paper, when does the get become valid? So for the last 200 years, all the other run thought, the get becomes valid at the last minute when she actually returns it. And that's why it's a problem of Aniyah Shomim. That's why it's also spoken about. Comes to Rashi and says he got it all wrong. The get takes effect 20 years earlier. When he gives a get and says he's giving a get on the condition, he says those magic words, Amanas. Amanas is to omri achshav dami. Amanas means that we now go back retroactively and we say the get takes effect from the moment that he gave it to her. So he gives her a get, and then when she returns the get is chal retroactively from the moment that he gave it to her. At that moment, she owned the paper. At that moment, the paper was hers. So Rav Ashi changes the entire tone of the sugya. Rav Ashi Yama Hamari Rebbe, that this Bryce is following the beautiful Rebbe, Diyama Ravuna Marav, or some say it's Ravuna Marebbe, but whether Rebbe is quoted here, Rebbe is the original author of the statement, Kala Omer Amanas Ke'en Reaction Dami. We've seen this before. Rebbe's view is that whenever you say the magic words, Amanas, that is tantamount to saying the Achshav, and if it's Me'achshav, so then the get was valid, so the game is over. And even though she has to return the get to fulfill the tonight, that will not invalidate the tonight. So now the Gemara goes on to discuss some very, very intricate types of a tonight to get in. It's called the get of a shchimira. So we've mentioned shchimira before, a person who is deathly ill. And on the one hand, he wants to divorce his wife because he doesn't want her to fall for yibum. He knows he's got a brother somewhere in Australia, so he doesn't want her to have to bother through yibum or chalitza. On the other hand, he doesn't want to divorce her really because if he survives, so he wants to remain married to her, especially if he's a Kohen, that would be the last thing he'd want to do is to give her a get, and then he wouldn't be able to remarry her. So he wants to make a conditional get. So he wants to make a get on the condition that he dies. So if and when he dies, then retroactively the get should be chal. If he doesn't die, eventually he'll die, but if he doesn't die, so then the get will be invalidated. So asking Shmuel begitin the shchemira. So Shmuel instituted the following lash or the following nusach for a get of a shchemira. Im lo imesi lo yehe get, the imesi yehe get, that first he should say, if he doesn't die, then the get shouldn't be good. And if he does die, then the get should be good. So he has to think about, why does he start off? It's almost on the wrong foot. What the point is to get this get to be valid. So why does he start off saying about if he doesn't die? The labor emaciate yet, we will emaciate yet. So why don't we have him talk about, get to the punchline, get to the topic of why he's writing this get in the first place? He says, lo makim inish purenusul in afshay. It doesn't sound nice to say something bad. He doesn't want to start the discussion for a second. If I die, this is what happens. He gets the heebie-jeebies to say that. So it's like, say, booby at heart. I'm not planning on dying. I hope that the Shem will have a full slave. I'll live for many, many years. So first he gives you the picture of what's going to happen if he survives. And then he says, oh, by the way, by some chance he dies in the next couple of days. So then the get should take effect. So says the Gemara, the lema lo yehe get im lo meisi. The Gemara says that why doesn't he say that let the get not be chal if I don't die? Why does he have to mention the tonight first? So the answer is that as we said before, that you have to mention the condition first. So he has to say that in Macy, in Lo Macy first. You can't word it in the opposite way. So Maskiv Lo Rav, so Rav says, wait a second. You are trying to be so careful. You want to be so sensitive. You don't want to start off the discussion of the dying first. But doing that, you just destroyed the entire debt. Michtei kol Tanai Mehe Gamin, and all because Tanai is derived from where? Mitzanai Bnei Gad Ben Reuben. Mahasam Hein Kadim Alav. When Tanai Bnei Gad Ben Reuben, not only was it a Tanai Kafa, was it a double Tanai, but the positive part preceded the negative part. If you go back to Pashas Tabatis, the Moshe Rabbeinu says explicitly, if you cross the yard in a fight, then you'll get a bayar. And if you don't, then you won't. So not only do we need a double Loshon, the Hain, the positive part, must precede the negative part. Here, it's not. Here, because you're afraid of the heebie-jeebie, you're saying you're going to die first, so you just blew the whole halacha. In this case, the way Shmuel seems to have instituted the Lashon, it actually is the exact opposite. So Rava qualifies as Shmuel says, the person makes a triple tonight. Elam Rava. So it's confusing kind of a tonight, but it gets all factors under consideration. So he starts off the whole long discussion by saying, I'm not planning on dying right now. So if I don't die, just forget this whole thing. This is just stops. I'm a waste of time. Imlo Macy. So you want to start off that way because otherwise it's not nice to start off on the wrong foot. So that's for sure. But that's going to ruin the get. And that's going to ruin the tonight. So now you have to have stage two. Imlo Macy. If he dies, yehe get. Then the get will be valid. And then he repeats again. Imlo Macy, lo yehe get. That That he says it the third time around in order to get the correct order. So the Gemara explains, why do we make this convoluted tonight, three prong today? The Gemara says, Imro Meisi, again, he started out with the Imro Meisi part because Lo Machta Inish Brusel and Havshake, because he doesn't want to say something which is, has any negative connotation. In Meisi, again, Imro Meisi, again, the reason why he had to say two and three is because Ba'ina Heikar Lo Lav, because and for halakhic reasons, you require the hay to precede the lab. So in order to make both him feel comfortable, he doesn't want to say anything negative to start this discussion, as well as to meet the halakhic criteria. So we end up a little bit of a longer tonight. That's with three level tonight. But if you do it, so then you fulfill both your human sensitivity as well as the proper halacha in terms of stipulating the tonight correctly. Thank you. Stop here. Okay.